ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. Welcome to the TF1 conference. I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Paolini. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming here to listen to comments. We'll be talking about the results of the first half of 2011. As you can see, in a hard-hit economic climate, the performance of TF1 Group is good, has been good over the last 6 months, and is in line with our expectations. Of course, the revenue has dropped slightly in terms of consolidated results, but also for Antenne TF1, but the operational income is increasing significantly with an operational margin, which is, for the first half, of €187 million. That's a 14.6% increase, and a net income of €117 million. That's 9.1% of the net margin. And those figures prove that the overhaul of the corporate economic model that we undertook 4 years ago is bearing fruit, despite the less favourable economic situation, as you have been able to see for yourselves. Now, before I give the floor to Philip to talk about the accounts, this is what we can say about the activity of the group over this first half of the year. First of all, when it comes to the advertising market, one thing has to be said, and in fact we said this last year, namely that TV remains the leading investment media and confirms the confidence that advertisers have in its efficiency and effectiveness with increased rates of 12.3%. Given this context, food, hygiene, body care, cars, health, travel, retail have increased, unlike cleaning, publicity, publishing, telecoms and financial services, which seems to be treading water. Now, the growth in gross sales in TV are still being driven by the DDT channels. The dynamism of them has continued. We've seen gross increase of 36.4%, and the cable and satellite channels as well, which have reattracted advertisers because we've seen an increase of 17.4%. For DDT, the switch-off continues to produce its effects, and we now still have 3 regions to digitize before November 2011. Those are the regions in the south of France. In a depressed economic context, we've seen a drop in household spending in April and May, -1.4% and -0.8%. Our advertising revenue in Q2 has increased slightly despite an unfavorable base effect. In 2010, May and June were characterized by enormous investments linked to the World Cup, Football World Cup, particularly in the area of sponsoring. Now, this performance of 0.7% follows an increase of 10% in Q2 2010, and the 0-9 of the first half compares to an increase of 11% in the first half of 2010. Therefore, a very good performance in terms of commercial terms. We're very satisfied with that. And our advertising department continues its strategy in value enhancement. Despite disappointing month of April, the ratings, in terms of rating, we have had high ratings, particularly in Access and Prime, which are, of course, essential when it comes to our programming strategy. Now, when it comes to viewing time, just before we look at the figures, the beginning of the year was characterized by a record and confirms the good attractiveness of the media. You can see an increase of 7 minutes, reaching 3 hours 54 for the privileged targets of women, and 12 minutes to reach 3 hours 47 for individuals. And you can see again that TV remains the leading investment area, entertainment, I should say. I'm sorry, that's typically French to talk about only investments. In this general context, TF1 remains the major offering in the audiovisual landscape without... It's unrivaled, and I think that's borne out in the figures, particularly the 50 best ratings for all channels, and we continue to maintain that position. Now, the channel continues its record in terms of ratings in all genres, which is, of course, its role as a generalist and family channel, and you can see some very impressive scores for a market where now more than 100% of households have at least 19 channels, and that's in a context where the programming costs are completely under control. The €423.6 million, that's the lowest programming costs since 2005. TF1 is particularly taking account the seasonality of investments for advertising and adapting its expenditure for programs to the income forecast. In Q2, we've invested more on the basis of our forecasting market. Now, today, one has to analyse the situation of the group by looking at the overall performance of its free-to-view channels, and more specifically TF1. You can see, in fact, that the total ratings, TF1, TMC and NT1, are stable over the year, thanks to the increase in the last 2 channels. That was one of our aims. We wanted to reach overall ratings, a very high level of performance. The aim has been reached with a total of 29% for individuals and, above all, 32.9% or nearly 33% for the target of women in charge of purchasing, which is a very positive result given the extremely tough competition. Now, when it comes to TMC and NT1, we can see that there's a marked increase in TMC over the last for these two targets, which confirms its role as a family channel, and remarkable scores obtained for NT1, which is beginning to confirm its brand recognition and is winning more and more young adults over to it. And again, there we are completely in line with our plans. TMC is still the fifth channel nationally, and continue to increase with absolute records for the first half of DDT channels. Prime rates of 2 million viewers, 70 programs in prime time with 1 million viewers, and an average of 900,000 viewers, which is a very good result. NT1 today is the greatest increase for the 15 to 34 bracket, with primes on average of 600,000 viewers, and a ramp-up of NT1 is confirmed. And that's what we did tell you, and you can see that this has been borne out in the figures. This first half also illustrates the good health of the pay channels. TVB is the best, with its the number one channels, cable and satellite, very profitable. LCI has got its best rating results since 2004, not to mention its brand recognition, which stands at 73% of those polled. And its shift, editorial shift, has been a complete success, which places it in fourth position for pay-to-view channels amongst the SBCs. It's come up from the 11th position, which is remarkable. Eurosport is an essential brand. I'll come back to that. Histoire, Ushuaïa, and Stylia are also continuing to increase, and TF6 and Série Club as well. So a rich and attractive offering, which confirms its role of high-quality preference offerings. Now, a word about Eurosport. Eurosport, as you know well this company, but I think it's fair to say that it's become a group of channels which is available to a large catchment area and in many different versions. It's also a multimedia platform with free and paying applications on all devices, 4 million downloads in 1.5 years, which is a score, I think, which we should be proud of. Lastly, it's also an expert company when it comes to organizing, managing, and promoting sporting events. And in the area of pay-to-view in France, Eurosport is the sports channel which is growing the most in terms of ratings, increase of 90% of 1 year. Today it's the third pay-to-view channel over the last 4 years. Let's come now to diversification, and our diversifications have confirmed our solidity. TF1 Enterprises continues to see success in the era of music, with the second album of De Prêtre. It's already a triple platinum disc, and the Triomphe de Mozart, more than 1.1 million viewers. In games, the iPhone iPad application Mille Bornes was launched on 19th of June and was ranked number one on iTunes as soon as it came out. The ticket with the Française des Jeux for Mille Bornes des Jeux was sold to the tune of 20 million copies, bringing royalties and huge margins for TF1 Enterprises. ETF1 has an operation income which is positive, and WAT has achieved profitability this half. As for TF1 film productions, very good successes under its belt, because 8 films drew more than 1 million in box offices since the beginning of the year. However, teleshopping has not done so well. La Place des Tendances, our e-commerce clothing site, is growing, and we're very, very happy with that. Lastly, audiovisual remains stagnant despite the good performance of TF1 Video, particularly with the VOD, which is turning out to be a growth driver and a very interesting one at that. As for TF1 audiovisual rights, the elimination of TMC and TF1 intergroup resales and the drop in films screened in cinemas explains the drop in that activities, but Philip will come back to that in his comments. When it comes to our corporate social responsibility, as you know, we have a very active policy in all areas, and this year I just wanted to highlight innovation and the introduction of a carpooling system, electric carpooling system, which is very promising. So much for activity. I tried to cover as quickly as possible most of these to give Philip some time so he can tell you more about the accounts of the company for the first half of the year.
Thank you, Nons. Good morning to all. So this is a presentation of the consolidated accounts of TF1 at 30 June 2011. All the details of the accounts as well as the annexes are available in the half-year financial report, which you can find on the TF1 website. On the six first months of the year, the consolidated revenue stood at 1.278 million euros, stable at point minus 5%. The consolidated revenue in the first half of the year is as follows: 758 million for the advertising revenue for the channel, so down slightly, 7 million euros minus 0.9%. This performance in the first half of 2001 by TF1 should be put in the context of last year's half year, which saw great growth in volumes and the broadcasting of the World Cup of FIFA in 2010. The first half of quarter of 2001 was down minus 2.6% after a plus 13% growth the previous year. The second quarter was up 0.7% after more than 10% growth in the second quarter 2010. So as Nons pointed out, you will see that gross advertising investment was up plus 1% in the second quarter, with the gross to net gap improving minus 0.3 points compared to minus 5.9 points in the first quarter, which shows the advertising agency's ability to gain value as soon as demand is sustained. Revenue in diversifications stood at 520 million euros, stable compared to the first half of 2010. This figure includes 48 million because of shares in TMC and NT1. The revenue in the first half of 2010 included 33 million in the resales of broadcasting rights for the World Cup. Regarding the advertising revenue of the TF1 Group, it stood at 905 million euros, up 40 million euros, plus 4.7%, essentially due to scoping effects, plus growth in the income of TMC and NT1, and advertising revenue on the web, plus 36% to 13 million euros. Eurosport International, with a lack of major sporting events such as those in the first half of 2010, namely the Africa Cup, the Olympic Games, Winter Games, and the World Cup of FIFA, saw advertising income down 7 million to 32 million euros in a difficult context. Regarding the broadcasting costs, 424 million euros in the first half of 2011 compared to 483 million 1 year before, down, so an improvement of 59 million euros. This is due to 49 million savings because of the World Cup in 2000 compared to the World Cup in 2010, 60 million in rights and production costs, minus 11 million euros for replacement programs and 10 million euros on other programs. Outside outstanding sporting events, the programming cost in TF1 in the first half of the year was 424 million euros compared to 423 million euros 1 year before. This stability includes broadcasting in the first half of 2001 of substitution programs for the football games shown the year before, and the group shows the ability to optimize its programming costs and controlling them. The costs for most of the program in the grid are down, except for news program because of major news events in the first half of 2011, and fiction and drama, whose broadcasting slots have increased in the first half of 2001. The control of programming costs and structural costs allowed TF1 to generate profitability to the tune of 22%. Let's look at operating expenses. They are down significantly, 55 million euros, minus 8%, including 35 million euros in expenses in TMC and NT1. In the first half of 2010, operating expenses included 50 million euros in broadcasting rights for the World Cup that were meant to be resold, and so we generated 39 million euros in savings. The allowances for depreciation was 57 million euros, so up 25 million euros over 1 year. Last year, we included a cancellation of 17 million provision because for the resale of broadcasting rights of the World Cup, which had been booked in the first half of the year. So in the first half of 2001, operating profit of the group stood at 187 million euros, up 82 million euros compared to the first half of 2010, plus 79%. The operating profit of the group includes 13 million euros for the integration of shares in TMC and NT1. It also includes the ruling of given by the Court of Paris regarding the movie Miracle at Santa Ana. All in all, the operating profit was 14.6% compared to 8.1% in the first half of 2000 and 8% for the whole of 2010. In the first quarter, the operating profit was 125 million euros, up to 64 million compared to the second quarter 2010. The profit margin in the second quarter was therefore 18.8%. These performances quarter after quarter shows the effectiveness of the measures taken to improve the business model. Financially, the TF1 position, the cash position was up. We have the financial debt cost of debt is zero compared to minus 10 million euros 1 year before. At the end of June 2011, taxes were 53 million euros, up 23 million euros, which of course is in line with the improvement of the profit, but that is reduced by the tax credit due to the disposal of SPS in the first quarter. The part of the companies held on an equity basis was minus 12 million euros at the end of June 2001 compared to plus 7 million euros. This is due to performance of AB, which is no longer consolidated on an equity basis as of 1st of July 2010, and a provision depreciation allowance for our stake in Metro France. The net profit of the group in first half of 2001 was 119 million euros compared to 74 million in the first half of 2010. In the second quarter 2011, it was 72 million compared to 41 million in the second quarter 2010. And in the first half of 2011, minority interest was 2.4 million euros, and that accounts for the 20% stake held by the Principality of Monaco in TMC. Regarding the balance sheet of 30 June 2001, the equity of TF1 was 1.530 billion euros for a total amount of assets of 3.394 billion. The current assets was 122 million euros because of advances on sporting events and the seasonality of advertising revenue, where the trade-off is 81 million euros in the liabilities. The net cash position is 11 million euros compared to 17 million euros at 31 December 2010. At the end of June 2010, the total financial debt was 120 million euros. Regarding the cash flow table, consolidated cash flow table at 30 June 2001, cash flow was 220 million euros in improvement compared to the same period last year, in line with the improved performance. The increase in the cash flow is compensated by the increased taxes paid and the degradation of the working capital requirements because of the advances on sporting rights and the increases in the receivables accounts. The cash flows due to investment is down 208 million. The acquisition of additional shares in TMC 91 took place in the first half of 2010, and the cash flows linked to finances were 126 million euros, including the 117 million euros dividends and the buying of treasury shares to the tune of 6 million euros. TF1 has a sound financial structure. The S&B grade was improved at 22 July 2001 to triple B plus compared to with a stable position compared to triple B. And this includes 975 million euros in bilateral credit lines.
Thank you, Philip. Well, you can see then during the presentation that we've had sustained activity. Our operational profit, I think, and our margin rates reflect the efforts we've made to improve our quality and effectiveness and our profitability, which, as you know, is, of course, an absolutely essential aim for us. Now, the first half was totally in line with our expectations when it comes to outlook, and we can confirm, therefore, the working assumption that we gave you at the beginning of the year, and which is that we'd have consolidated revenue which would be stable throughout the year, and there's no reason for us to review that assumption. Now, season 2011-2012 TF1 will, in September, start with a new season of our major series, French films, which have been successful. You can see some of the titles here on the slides, and American blockbusters as well, but also French drama, family drama, which already has very, very faithful public, and also special events like Flicks, which is a police series. It's a new genre which will be starting its second season. But for the 2011-12 season, above all, it's the return of emblematic brands, the most recent ones like MasterChef and Dance with Stars, which have been very successful, as is the case for historical traditional brands like Koh-Lanta. And they will be consolidating our primes with broadcasting over several weeks. Access. We'll see the arrival of new innovative formats like the Comedy News with Nicolas Canteloup. He's a very popular comedian in France, and that will be after the news during the week. And then also we can talk about 7 to 8, Set à 8, the long version, which for the last few weeks has been succeeding on very well on Sundays between 6 in the evening and 6:15. Politics will also have a role to play with Parole Directe after the news once a month, particularly given the fact that we've got elections coming up. Now, above all else, we have a major event. Last year, of course, it was the World Cup, Football World Cup. This year is going to be the Rugby World Cup, which will be between the 9th of September and the 23rd of October. So TF1 Group has introduced a 360 strategy. That won't surprise you. But I'd just like to say that TF1 has sold 28 matches out of the 48, and therefore we are going to be able to offer the 20 best matches of the competition. Obviously, we'll have the opening ceremony, and we'll be exclusive when it comes to the two best quarterfinals, the semifinals and the final on the 23rd of October. Furthermore, 18 of the 20 matches will be broadcast live on the weekend from at 8 o'clock and 10:30, with special slots in the news at 1 o'clock and 8 o'clock in the evening, and Rugby World Cup news at 8:30 the day before and the day of matches. Eurosport will be the only channel to broadcast the entire competition, and will be offering a daily talk show, as will LCI. Lastly, TF1 and Eurosport will be working together to offer on digital to their web users a joint site. We already did this for football, an extension of the group's channels with all of the matches in catch-up and 20 matches broadcast on TF1 with exclusivity and live on a video player unique on the market, so you can control the direct and go back over the main parts of the match. As for prospects, when it comes to the ad department, well, our program offering for the new season should allow us to continue our objective to win back value. Advertising will continue to work on its new client approach, segmentation, more effective targeting and demonstration of its effectiveness when it comes to ad breaks, and the introduction of innovative offerings with higher value, added value for the broadcasters. As you know, we have made available to our advertisers the MediaWay tool, which in fact is done in partnership with TNS World Panel in order to gauge the effectiveness of the TV campaigns on sales and to show the added value of advertising offering of TF1. And that seemed very interesting for the broadcasters who accepted to work with us in this area. So September will also be marked by the rollout of the Challenge 2012 project that we've told you about. And since September, new general sales conditions will also be published for the market. Lastly, the aim is also to increase leadership when it comes to video market by increasing inventories, maintaining high CPMs, and developing multi-screen offering. Lastly, when it comes to mobiles, we have developed our portfolio of application supports, and we're offering advertising formats which are innovative for the operators. Now, before I conclude, a quick reminder of our strategy, which, of course, you're very familiar with now, I think, around our core business, free-to-view TV, made up of three channels. We have pay-to-view channels, which are growing, as you've seen. And moving away from exclusivity, we believe that we can find a viewing catchment basin that will be even greater. When it comes to the free-to-view for consumers, digital media, connected TV, and very soon press with Metro, that gives us, I think, solid trump cards to complete our advertising range and to give advertisers a range of channels of contact, which I think is probably unique throughout the market. Lastly, our diversifications today have been streamlined and relaunched, and our diversifications are now positioned on growth markets with at the head diversification of a team of well-experienced entrepreneurs. Now, the adaption to our cost base, given the economic context and competition and seasonality, obviously means that we have to reduce our structural costs, continue to optimize our resources and the work that we're conducting day by day to achieve synergies between the group's channels and, of course, internal management, which has become a genuine corporate project. As you know, I very often say this, and it's something which has been carried by the entire group. And all of that represents things which I think represent a virtuous circle, which will allow us to convert a significant increase in the improvement in revenue into operational profits. And that's what we're trying to do quarter after quarter. Lastly, and as has been the case in the past, so we continue to follow our aim of increasing profitability. And in this area, as in others, we are doing everything we can, and I think you can see the results. So that's what we wanted to tell you, Philip and I, about the first half of the year. Just a few ideas to wrap up very quickly. First of all, our economic model, I think, has adapted to the new economic situation, an uncertain situation, and to the caution which I think is being expressed by the advertisers. Our ratings on TF1 have been up and down, but they remain nevertheless unrivaled in terms of power and efficiency and effectiveness in sales. TMC and NT1, as is the case with our pay-to-view channels, have had excellent results in terms of operational planning and ratings. Our digital strategy, therefore the 360, today is one of the great successes of TF1, with ETF1 and What have broken even, and MYTF1 is profitable and is now disseminated largely on boxes of different operators. Our subsidiaries, as we've seen, have relaunched and streamlined, and our commercial offering has never been as broad as it is today. Free-to-view or pay-to-view TV, radio, digital, and now free newspapers. So I would say that today I'm particularly satisfied, and I think that our staff is being very creative, innovative in every area, and programs and advertising. And our financial solidity, Philip has told us, has been approved by S&P with its rating, and that's, of course, very satisfying for all of our staff. For all these reasons, we are very confident that we are able to continue to grow. So that's what we wanted to tell you, perhaps a little bit too quickly, but Philip and myself are now ready to answer your questions, whatever they may be, and we'd be delighted to do so. So, over to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please be aware that your line will be muted just after your question.
From Philippe Collot from JP Morgan. Mr. Franco. Oh, hello to all, and congratulations on this performance. It's becoming a pleasant habit. I hope it goes on like this. I have three small questions. Number one, regarding the relationship between price and volume. I get the impression that volumes are up, at least in terms of demand. However, in terms of prices and value, I get the impression that to see the results of your new pricing policies, we'll have to wait for the fourth quarter or maybe even the first quarter of next year. I mean, I'd like to know about that. When will we get some actual performance in terms of price volume? Now, the rulings on the compensation channel that was granted, I wasn't able to read up on this, so maybe you can let us know where we stand. And the third question for Philippe, I see that the broadcasting costs are down, and that's looking good, but the first half of the year, there was there was already a significant reduction. If we have the same trend as last year, that should mean a 25 million euro savings for the entire year. Is that a right guidance? Well, thank you, and good morning. First, regarding the, of course, the compensation, the channel, the You know that there's a discussion between the European Commission and the French government on that, on how to construe the telecom package that the European Commission wants to impose on the French market, when France believes that its audiovisual policy does not come under this directive. Now, because there's a discussion between the European Commission and the French government, we hope to find a ruling in September. The position of the European Commission should be presented then, and the French government can rebut it. Now, what can I say about the future? Together with M6, we spoke to the regulatory authorities, to the public authorities, to the European Commission. We insisted to say that because you open up the market to new channels on two multiplexes that will be available, therefore, this in itself could be seen as hasty measures in view of the strong changes that have occurred in the market in a short period of time with new entrants. And of course, this is something that occurs in France and not elsewhere, because in Europe, as you know, the transition to digital TV did not coincide with the arrival of new entrants elsewhere. So that's part of the issue, but that's not the it's not just the number of new channels that will, because we have this compensation or this additional channel that will be allotted to us, but because Canal Plus is now also going to arrive on non-scrambled TV, well, this is going to distort competition between TF1 and Canal Plus and other channels. So what I would say is that there's a new DVB-T2 standard that could be applied across the board. I mean, that could be applied for the compensation channels. We'll wait to see if that happens. We're looking as to how relations work out between the French government and the European Commission. We're ready for all expectations. We can have this high-quality compensation channel. But of course, together with Canal Plus, we want to make sure that competition will take place in a fair context. That's what we're concerned about with Canal Plus arriving on the clear channels. That's the discussion on the compensation channels, but we're not concerned about that, but we want to make sure that competition will be on a fair basis, especially vis-à-vis Canal Plus. We'll know more in September. I believe the final ruling will take place then. Regarding the prices, I'll tell give the floor to Philip. Yes, on price volume, we do not cite the gap between price and volumes because, of course, the comparison last year had the Football Cup, so that's not comparing like for like. But I can tell you that volumes are stable compared to a high increase last year, so we're looking at zero minus. We could see that demand is relatively sound, relatively good. So in terms of volumes, we are fairly stable on H1, and May and June were those where the months where we did the best business. In terms of the gross to net gap, again, there's an improvement there because it stood at almost minus six in the first quarter, and now we're almost zero in the second quarter. Regarding the third question on broadcasting costs, in the first quarter, there were savings, about 30 million euros. But in the first, as of July 1st, there are about four zones in France where a digital transition took place, and some of the savings were taken on board. So the 25 million euro saving for the entire year may be slightly optimistic, but we're looking at somewhat less than that, less than 25 million euros for the entire year. That's for broadcasting costs, savings in broadcasting costs. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have a question for Bruno Aronde from O2. Hello. I have a small question regarding MCI, you wanted LCI, you wanted that to be a free-to-view channel. Would that be related to the compensation channel or some nothing to do with it? And then the other thing is, can you give us guidance on advertising in the third quarter? And then a third question, could you tell us more about the new challenge in terms of measuring ratings, and how could that change your revenue? Now, regarding LCI, now, of course, this cannot be seen as part of the additional channel, compensation channel, because the law says that these channels should be there to encourage French creation, and so new media, as it were. So here, the legal provisions are very stringent, and that rules out the use of such a channel for a news channel. Now, on the compared with the of course, revenue. Last year we had the World Cup, the FIFA World Cup. The trend is still good in July, but I would say that we're not particularly concerned about Q3. It's true that advertisers have becoming more cautious. The last quarter tends to be busy, so we'll see. It depends, of course, on the general economic picture, but in terms of guidance, we are not concerned, put it that way. Now, regarding the measures of ratings, I don't know exactly what you're referring to, but you know that we have the deferred ratings measured by Médiamétrie. These ratings are to our advantage. We're looking at about 4 minutes extra per day. That doesn't look like very much, but the consumption of TV has never been so high, and this deferred broadcasting has been very useful to us. This rerun. This has been very useful. You can gain as much as 8 or 9%, especially on American series for catch up TV, as opposed to direct viewing. But that is never going to be a risk for us. If you have a high quality program, people who could not see it live can see it in catch-up TV, and that simply increases the number of viewers, so that is can only be a positive development. No matter how you measure it, it simply means that with catch-up TV we have simply additional viewers, higher ratings, no problem at all. Thank you.
Pierre Rang from Barclays Capital. You have the floor, sir. Good morning, Nance. Good morning, Philippe. Great quarter, guys. If I can start with costs. Savings of 10 million in programming costs and some 30 million in all. Nance mentioned the fact that you adapted your costs to the first half's revenue. So could we have some targets for the entire year? Will there be more savings in the second half or less because of the phasing? That's my first question. Second question. Philippe said that Santana costs were included in the first half. Can we know how much that was and where it was in the accounts? And the third question... If LCI goes to free to view, what about what was said in the press about the renewal of payment for thematic channels? I mean, Orange put a lot of money into this, and Bouygues as well, and you're negotiating with SFR as well regarding Canal Plus. Those are my three questions. Thank you. Well, LCI, first of all, free to view. First of all, let's just remind everybody that LCI, when it looked at pay-to-view model today, has achieved operating income a pretty good level. And these channels have broken even, and we can see Canal and BFM have shown this, that today, when it comes to news, it's quite obvious. Free to view is the market. So, going to see the CFA and asking for a change of the in the economic model of LCI has been imposed by circumstances. And we have to draw the consequences of a market which has grown enormously around news. And there's room for an additional channel news without that imbalancing the market. Today, MCI has about, 8 to 10 million euros for the advertising market. And when it comes to the free-to-view market, LCI may get about an additional 20 million. So not much compared to the growth that we've seen year after year in its revenue in DTT. Now, when it comes to our thematic channels, today, as you know, we had an exclusive system. There are two things which have been dealt with. First of all, was the Série Club that we share with M6, and that was the subject of a separate agreement with Canal, which was hammered out in good conditions. And we have other channels, Eurosport, Ushuaïa, History, Histoire, and TV Brèche, which today are non-exclusive. So a change in the system compared to the agreements that we had with Canal for 5 years. And Orange and Bouygues Telecom have come up with some concrete proposals. We have some declarations of intent, which are pretty interesting, provided by Free and SFR. And we need to continue to discuss with Canal and Numéricable. So the discussions are going on with all of them. And I think that we should end up by the end of August or September with some results. So we've got to fight the right level of price with them. We're satisfied with the discussions that we've had with Orange and with Bouygues Telecom, and I think that we should be able to get some good results for a thematic channel. As you've seen, they've done very well. They're either in the rankings of channel, I mean, in terms of channel rankings or in terms of quality, in terms of customers. And we've made enormous efforts at repositioning them, as we've done with LCI, and I think that bodes well for the future. And the negotiations, as I said, are moving forward. So I have no particular concerns about that particular area. Just to confirm what you're saying, negotiations with Orange, you're satisfied with those? They're finished. They're ended. And don't include LCI. LCI is considered by Orange and Bouygues Telecom. We can't exclude anything from the discussions. We know we're being very pragmatic about this. I mean, we will draw the conclusions of these different negotiations when we have finished talking to all of the operators. Today, the scenario which seems to be emerging is that, obviously, the watchdog will probably have the final word. Today, I don't exclude anything. I mean, I think this is very, we have to be very pragmatic. I can't say any more than that. Now, the programming costs aims, well, the aim there is not to reduce them dramatically and systematically and constantly. The value of the product is also provided by the programming costs. Money isn't the only variable, but it is important, of course. I said to you that we had an aim of 950 million euros over 2 years on average. If sporting rights included, there's no reason for us to change that. If we can do better without deteriorating the product, so much the better. If we have to do anything else, we will. So lastly, let me add that for Euro, things haven't changed. We made a proposal with M6, which was rejected by the watchdog, and we made a new proposal for the moment. There haven't been any negotiations started on that subject. Santana, let me give the floor to Philip. Well, before I talk about Santana, let me just add on something to the costs that Nantes was saying, second half of the year and prospects. What I can say is that the details of this well, it's about savings on the broadcastings of around 11 million. And the second half, of course, it's borne in mind the fact there are only four regions who haven't moved to switch off. That should... The second thing is that we are benefiting from a part of the savings achieved in the first half linked to the Eurosport schedule compared to last year, because there are major events in Eurosport, the African Cup, the African Nations Cup, the Olympics, and that's not going to be happening in the second half of this year. Third thing, there was a calculation basis of tax for taxes, which was higher last year, which has allowed us to share in these savings of 39 million. But there are variables, of course, 17 million, which will adapt depending on the income in the second half and will remain within the framework of the adaption of the model, economic model. So that's it for the 39 million savings and can't be applied to the second half. When it comes now to the Santana ruling, we've taken on board the ruling and we've made adjustments to the provisions, not enormously compared to the perceived risk that we had before the ruling. And when it comes to factoring it into our accounts, well, you know that the 30th of June, the loss of TF1 SA is basically explained by the provision to the litigation, which was transferred from TF1 SA to the accounts of TF1DA. So that's what I can say about Santana and the ruling on that.
Thank you. We have a question by Jérôme Baudin from Natixis. Hello, I have several questions, in fact. About prices, we find that the gross to net gap was reduced from between Q1 and Q2, about 6 points. Any guidance on Q3? Second question on Eurosport International, the advertising revenue is down, and I would like to know what countries suffered most, and if you could give us some guidance on the next quarter as well. And then the third question on NT1, you said that performance is up. Can you tell us what kind of profit margin you're looking at, or maybe a bracket, an order of magnitude? Likewise for TV Brugge. And then on TF1 channel, if you were to give a figure to your visibility, I mean, what kind of figure would give us in terms of progress since last year? A word about Eurosport International. It turns out we are lagging behind in terms of revenue because Eurosport has Japanese advertisers, big customers for Eurosport, and of course, as you know, with the crisis in Japan, that slowed down some of the advertising income, both in automotive or things like TV sets. That there was, we're not particularly concerned. I mean, of course, because of the Japanese situation, we had some lag, but other than that, subscriptions are up. Advertising, there's no big difference from one country to the next. This is pan-European advertising. We are, of course, monitoring the situation carefully, but we believe that once the Japanese and other countries have improved their tourist trade, we will be all right. Regarding NT1 and TV Brez, normally we do not give you profit margins. All I can tell you is that we are happy with the way in which these channels are shaping up. NT1 today has a new notoriety. It is looking at young adults. The programs are getting stronger and stronger. As you know, we're looking to a new programs as of the second half, but in terms of revenue, we are ahead of schedule, and yet we didn't invest that much on programs, and so it looks as though the performance is right there. It's the most successful on satellite, but also in terms of advertising revenue and subscription revenue, it's very happy. It's doing quite well. Now, when you're talking about the visibility, putting a figure on visibility, what are you talking about? Visibility on advertising revenue? I gave you that, but visibility in terms of ratings? Well, no, I'm talking about the advertising revenue. I told you. I mean, there's nothing to add to that. gross to net gap, Philippe will tell you more. Yes, well, on Q3, because of July and August, this is probably not the best period to gain value. What I can tell you is that the most of the performance was in Q2, so you can't repeat that performance in Q3. We tend to be cautious on that. We are not. We can't be too optimistic on the gross to net gap in August. We're looking to better performances in September. Thank you. And now on the English side of the channel,
we have a question from Mr. Matthew Walker from Nomura. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Just two questions. The first question is, could you be a little bit more clear on the advertising growth rate for the third quarter so far as you can see it at the moment, and any feeling, early feeling for September? And the second question is, the savings for the full year. I think the market's looking for around 300 million of EBIT for the full year. Given the savings that you've achieved in the first half of the year, are you looking for that 300 million to move up? Thank you.
Thank you. Regarding the first question on Q3, it's early days for September, but even on Q3, well, July gives us it's not a like-for-like basis because last year we had the World Cup. We have very little visibility on Q3 performance, but that's true across Europe. So it's, as I said, too early days to say about September, but we have very little visibility, so we can't really be precise on that. On the savings achieved in H1 cannot necessarily be repeated in H2, so you can't take it for granted that what we achieved in H1 will be repeated in the second half of the year. So for the full year, I would rather not give you a guidance on EBIT. All we can tell you, though, is that last year Q3, of course, performed extremely well because of the seasonal events. Because, of course, this was a positive year, and plus. Some of the savings were already booked in Q3 2010. So that's really all I can say about savings for the full year.
We have the next question from Mr. Richard Jones from Goldman Sachs. So please go ahead.
I've got a couple of questions on programming. When you think about programming costs going forward and going into next year, given that your audience on the core channel is running down slightly, and that MC seems to be increasing their programming spend reasonably aggressively, and that France Télévision seems to have an okay settlement on programming, how does that make you think about what you should be spending on programming for next year in general? And then more specifically, what are you thinking about the Formula One rights? And I think I missed earlier on what you're thinking about potential resale or sharing of the European Championships.
Programming costs for the next year our strategy, as Nancy said, is to invest in programs. It's true that the competition is pretty tough. We want to remain flexible in terms of our investment capacity in programming because there's so much competition. So today, we have no reason to overhaul the guidance which we provided and which will allow us in that framework to maintain a certain amount of flexibility for new investments. Formula One, well, Formula One and generally sporting rights, I can give you a broader answer to that. Formula One, you know that our contract is up until the end of 2012, so that means that we've still got some rights to Formula One. Those contracts were wrapped up a long time ago, which means that the conditions that they were negotiated in date back to a different era. And today, when we have to go back to the negotiating table on a subject like this, obviously we will have a very different economic approach. And in fact, we've proved this already. Let me remind you that with the Champions League, we've already brought up some 40% of the costs, and with the renegotiating the contracts for the French team provided a drop of about 80% in our contracts. So that means that we're not ready to be absent for major events. That's proved itself with the Euros. The economic conditions have to be re-examined given the competition and given the appetizing. So for Formula One, we're not taking any position. We'll just have to see. There may be competition around that. We'll have to see, I mean, what happens. But it's clear that it cannot be the economic conditions of the past. But generally speaking, a major channel like TF1 has to be involved in major sports events. We are a leader, but we can't do it at any old price. So real change. We've got to find an economic optimum. We have high ratings, of course. You would have noticed that when TF1 broadcasts French teams, the ratings are far higher than our competitions are, which proves that the federations being on TF1 is a great advantage, and that advantage can't be concluded at any price. Now, the World Cup, Football World Cup, things will continue, as Nancy said. We will be optimizing the rights that we've obtained, depending, of course, on the outlook. And when there are possibilities of resale, well, that's by no means to be excluded, but we will adapt, of course, depending on how things evolve, optimizing sports rights in overall terms. Now, the FIFA World Cup was a great success in terms of ratings, but also it cost us less. This resale of rights is something which wasn't perhaps thought about before, but we did it. We considered it to be a philosophy. You can see it for the Rugby World Cup. And I think it means that we can optimize the rights, we can maximize our ratings for TF1, and ensure that in France everybody is pretty much satisfied in terms of seeing these events in different channels.
We have a question from Mrs. Catherine O'Neill from Citi. Ma'am, please go ahead.
Hi, just a couple of questions. Firstly, on TF1 core channel and the theme channels in France, the margins were over 17%. I just wondered how sustainable you think this is. And secondly, on Metro in France, I think I read that you were buying in the state you don't have. Is that right? And if so, what's the rationale behind that?
Regarding the profitability of TF1 in the theme channels, I'll make two comments. Number one, of course, as you know, there's some seasonality that can account for the performance on advertising revenue in Q3. Q3 tends to be lower, and so profitability on H1 will, of course, be deflected on Q3 because there's less profit on Q3. Regarding profitability of other channels, the theme channels, there's no reason to believe that there should be major changes. What I can tell you is that in terms of scope, we are looking at the last part of the year when we are NT1 in the scope. But then after that, we will be on a like-for-like basis after the 1st of July this year. There won't be a change in scope. That's for the profitability, and so we expect profitability to remain stable in the second half. Regarding Metro and the stake in Metro, the free French paper, we were co-shareholder of Metro. When the proposal came on the table to have a third party take over, the price that was offered by Metro International became very attractive to use our right of first refusal. We decided to use that right of first refusal because we believe that Metro is a good brand. We also believe that it has become the second largest daily paper, 2.4 million readers, right after 20 Minutes, which 1.8 million, and Matin, which is also 1.8 or 9 million. So Metro alone in a universe when you have Bolloré on one side and West France on the other, of course, Metro was not in a very comfortable position in terms of, negotiating position. Now, Metro with TF1 is another picture altogether. A, we can have synergies in terms of sales forces, but also this will make it possible for advertisers to know that they will have access to all the media. Free-to-view TV, pay-per-view, radio, because we have a radio channel which works quite well, or indeed Metro. So that's many new outlets, and so that's why we decide to buy first. But of course, in 2007, when the Bolloré group came in the picture, that was a big challenge. But of course, our team has its assets, and we believe that if the in acceptable economic conditions, we should be able to find our market niche and find the right market conditions. So we are about closing. We haven't completely worked on synergies, etc., but this is going to happen, and the people at Metro are delighted such a shareholder as TF1 is coming in. It's very motivating.
Question for Mr. Andre Beneventi. You have the floor, sir. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having answered to most of my questions. There's another important one I wanted to ask you about, Outlook, which seems quite cautious. Are there advertising segments where you see improvements in visibility? I'm thinking of automotive, or low results everywhere. Well, I think that we're going to have good surprises in terms of telecoms, because they were very quiet in the first half, and it looked like there's going to be a big fight between them, given the fact that there are newer operators coming online. Now, we did suffer from the reshuffling of the fixed landscape and the arrival of a new operator, and the dynamism of the alternatives means that I think we're going to see a far better activity, more advertising investments than for the remainder. It's difficult to forecast. Cleaning had dropped to, that's of course linked to household spending. Publishing's done badly as well. but it should be coming back. We'll have to see in that area how it's going to develop. Last year, we were boosted by certain activities which are not present this year, but for the moment, we think that things are doing pretty well, so we have no particular worries. Thank you very much. That was a very clear answer.
I have a question from Tema Virela from Dow Jones. Yes, hello. Can tell us the amount of the provision you had for Miracle at Santa Ana, and in the end, how much you accepted to settle, I mean, to pay for the translation company? So the amount of the settlement on Miracle Ana, you addressed the other questions. So Miracle at Santa Ana, we will not publish the amount of the settlement that was part of the agreement in the arbitration, but I can assure you that the amount was less than the initial amount claimed. That's what arbitration is all about. We arrived at a settlement which is less. So, but out of the provision, well, if I give you the amount of the provision and I tell you it's about the same as the amount of the arbitration, you will have the amount of the settlement. Okay, fine. But in terms of substance, on what was the litigation all about? What were the differences between the initial script and the screenplay and the end product? And which accounted for your refusal to broadcast Miracle at Santa Ana. What was shocking about that? Well, to cut a long story short, but to make it clear, the first was the duration of the film. Initially, the movie was two hours and 35 minutes, and initially we were looking at 2 hours. And so this has consequences in terms of distribution and such like and sales, and so we had a dispute on the duration. In the end, we got a shorter version, but the shorter version, in our appreciation of that, compared with the initial screenplay, was different. We don't want to get into the details of something that was arbitrated, and of course, if we said anything that could restart the litigation, and we don't want that to happen, but basically it was something to do with the duration and discrepancy with the original screenplay. We arrived at a compromise, we're happy with that compromise, and we arrived at a settlement, so we're not going to bring it up again. Thank you. No further questions. In that case, thank you for your attendance. Let me just say, by way of conclusion, that we were very touched by your congratulations. We are not letting our guard down. We certainly intend to keep it up. Want to make sure that the way we run this business will be as effective as it has always been. In any event, have a nice summer break, and we will see you again for the next presentation. Goodbye and thank you. That's the end of the conference call. Thank you. You may now put the phone down.